Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope, there we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
B-Pod Studios.
Sports Side. Toucher.
I can't believe he did that.
Rich. I didn't want to be there because he was embarrassed.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Five Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Bert Breer is a senior NFL reporter and lead content strategist for the MMQB, and he's brought to you this morning by New England Fat Loss. Looking to lose weight? Ask your doctor if they would recommend a plan with prepackaged foods and shakes or real meal program, eating healthy food with New England Fat Loss.
We had the story this morning, Bert, that just all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the NFL wants to talk to Antonio Brown. And not trying to be overly pessimistic, but part of me thinks that maybe that's because the report came out that someone from the Seahawks actually want him. Maybe there's teams that might want to sign him before the playoff time. And all of a sudden, hey, maybe we'll try to get things cleared up. I got to think there was pressure on the NFL to get this done. And then, of course, he completely sabotages himself once again.
Yeah, and I think the one thing we have to remember is the NFL completely controls the process. So if they don't want him back on the field because he did something like this, all they got to do is drag their feet in the investigation. They can bring him in next week, but that doesn't mean there needs to be any sort of resolution.
Is there any reason they've been, other than they didn't want him to be a story, for them to finally be getting to it now after all of these weeks?
I mean, I look, the big thing to me, when you look at like why he hasn't been signed to this point and everything else, is the NFL wanted to maintain power over it. And the big thing is like, if you sign him, you're taking on how big a PR hit, right? Like, because you're dealing with everything the Patriots dealt with over that time, everything that's happened since, and everything that happened before. And so you're inviting a circus into your building. And if you're going to do that and you get a great player, fine. If you're going to do that and you don't even know if the league's going to let him play,
yeah,
like he could still go on the exempt list, right? Like you sign him tomorrow, he's still the league could just say, okay, now he's on the commissioner's exempt list.
Yeah.
So are you willing to take on everything that's going to come with him? And we know NFL teams will do a lot for talent, right? Like NFL teams will do a ton to
Kareem Hunt's playing.
Yeah, they'll overlook a lot for talent.
Yeah. Peterson's playing.
But why would you take on that sort of hit if you A, know there's an investigation that still hasn't been completed, that's ongoing, and B, you don't even know if you're going to be able to get him on the field.
Yeah. And that's why
he and his people have been pushing for a resolution. That's why, and it's, this part's pretty obvious, that's why it got out there that the Seahawks had interest in him, and the Seahawks have maintained interest in him. And I think that was ahead of the, the Seahawks did something.
Josh Gordon. They got Josh Gordon.
The Josh Gordon.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So what is the status right now of the Patriots trying to get their money back or trying to not pay Antonio Brown the cash that it sounds like from all the legal experts, Antonio Brown is entitled to $9 million that they said they're going to pay him?
Right.
I mean, that's kind of a big deal. Like, if the Patriots don't have to pay that.
And that
probably
won't be resolved until the spring, which means like if they were going to get the cap space back, they would get the credit. Obviously, this is a matter of principle for the Crafts at this point. But, I mean, the main thing you're looking at here is, like, the fact that you signed him, right? And then all that stuff that you said, like, okay, like, so you didn't know about the lawsuit and all the rest of it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you can claim that. But then the following Sunday, you put him on the field.
Yeah, he played. And minute he stepped on the field in Miami, you have no excuse.
It's over. Like, at that point, I think, like, there's just... And the reason, you know, like, and obviously, like, the signing bonus money is usually, you know, as an accounting matter, is seen as something to, you know, handle a salary cap hit, right?
Who's like, stupid enough to take him? With the threat of him just doing what he did yesterday and going off on the NFL saying, F all of you, you hate black people. Like, who now is crazy enough to take a chance on Antonio
Cleveland?
Brown?
Seattle.
Well, Seattle won them.
But Seattle's taken those sorts of shots in the past. Seattle also has, I mean, like, look who Russell Wilson was throwing to last Sunday. DK Metcalf, who could be a good player down the line, but is a rookie still. Jacob Hollister, who they traded for from here a couple days after the draft, who's become a fairly productive player for them, but still is Jacob Hollister.
Yeah.
Like, they still have issues there, which is why they claimed Josh Gordon in the first place. So I wouldn't put it completely past them. They've taken risks in the past.
Right.
And I think that because of Pete Carroll's presence, the same way Bill Belichick's presence helps you here, mm-hmm. because Pete Carroll's there, you probably have a little bit more of an ability to take a swing like that.
Okay. So do you see him playing before the end of the year?
No, because I don't think the league wants him on the field. I think there are too many. It's people at the league office. I think it's Robert Kraft, you know.
Yeah.
I think is part of this. Like, I just don't see where. I don't see where they're going to be motivated to clear this thing up fast enough where a team is going to feel comfortable signing him. Because if you're another team, again, like, this has gone from weird and quirky, which is what it was when he was a Raider.
Yeah,
right?
And it
weird,
was fun.
And it was just, like, kind of, like, all over the place. And, like, you know, for a football team, that stuff's destructive. But for us, it's pretty harmless, right?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Like, he's making YouTube videos and stuff to being, like, criminal. Like,
yeah.
Borderline criminal when he was here. So, well, like, that's that takes it to a different level. You're inviting a different element into your building and, you know, into your public sphere when you sign somebody like that. So are you willing to take on all of that when you don't even know if he's going to be able to get on the field?
Well, Bert, when you talk to people that know him or know people that know him, what's his deal with social media?
He's addicted to it. He's addicted to it. He is a, I don't know if I want to use the word whore, but whore for attention.
Well, I mean, he's like,
he
attention
is.
His rock stars
yeah,
are these.
Right,
well,
right.
Fred, his rock stars
Thank
are
you,
these
Fred.
YouTube personalities.
Still locking myself up here.
Like, I mean, did
but
you?
I don't think we've really seen this with star athletes as much yet. We'll probably see it more because kids who are coming into pro sports now grew
so
up with this stuff.
So self-destructive.
But it's like so much of it, I think, is just it's. He is addicted to attention.
Did you see that,
and that
tour
was
he gave that guy the internet, like, YouTube superstar he gave through his house? One of the proudest awards that he was showing off was this YouTube award for, like, he had 1 million subscribers or something like that. And the reason he had this guy come in is because he was envious that this dude had 2 million subscribers, and he wanted this video to be put on his channel. On top of that, he's hanging out with that schlubby dude from Supreme or whatever. I guess he's got a million followers on social media.
He's like an influencer or whatever.
That's
right?
Exactly right. But those are the guys he's surrounding himself with right
so
now.
So you, yeah.
Yeah, I'm an influencer.
Hashtag morning motivation.
You got that right, Jack.
Hashtag rise and grind.
That's right. You got that right, Jack.
I don't think, like, it's exactly who he was with the Steelers, and I think it's like we talk about, like, last year, like, the what set him off was not winning the team MVP award. It's just he's like, and I don't even know if you classify him as a millennial, but he's got all the earmarkings of that. And I think we're going to see more and more with kids who are coming into pro sports now that are 21, 22, 23 years old who actually grew up with this stuff. You may have more of these sorts of problems. And like, look, I think, in a bigger sense, LeBron has an effect on, like, I think every athlete too, because they all want to be content creators.
Sure,
like they all want, like.
But you got to get a guy to do it.
It's so,
like, I know real estate agents that hire people to be their content creators.
Well, Fred, I mean, Julian Edelman has a guy who does his stuff, like,
well,
makes videos for him.
Yeah, but that's the
mixed
thing.
Mixed results.
Is that he has a guy doing?
But
it.
He has a guy.
He's not going to get in trouble.
He's not doing it himself. Yeah.
No. If you want to market yourself and you use social media, absolutely. There's nothing wrong with that. Hopefully, you're more creative than Julian Edelman. But nonetheless, he's not doing anyone any harm. It's just having the phone in your hand and feeling the need to respond to everything and then reading all the mentions is just not good, especially when you have so much to lose. All right.
And by the way, I don't think it's a millennial thing. Because, I mean, I know a lot of millennials that if they were offered $9 million to shut the hell up on social media, they do it in a heartbeat. That's not, I think it's just he's crazy and he needs to be loved. Yeah. Like, he's one of these, he needs constant adoration. His endorphins just go through the roof every time someone likes any of his posts. I think it has nothing to do with how old he is.
I think he's
crazy.
I don't think I would have agreed with this comparison 1 year ago today. but there's a lot of T.O. there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of T.O.
Yeah, I can see, yeah, like, I can see that. Yeah, that I mean, can
like,
see.
Like, maybe remember, like, there was that story about T.O., and I think the writer went into the atrium of, like, his mansion, and right there in the middle of the atrium, there was a statue. There was, like, a statue of him with his shirt off.
A press conference in the driveway of him working out.
It was A-Rod, you know, him, part man, part centaur.
I guess when you used to go into Robin Quivers' house, there was a huge picture of Robin Quivers when you walked right in the door. All right, I want to talk to you about Lamar Jackson, because Wallach thinks he's terrible. And,
wow.
And we played some of your audio
by the way, before I forget, you know who's very excited for the Rat concert?
Who's that?
That's one Scott Zola. Oh, yeah. We talked about it the other day.
Oh, really? Okay. Nice.
He's chances he goes? Zero.
He is not going. All right. We'll be right back with more Purpurator.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot. Hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
The Sports Hub On Demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tip off every Celtics game all season long with a great-tasting ice-cold Miller Lite, the original light beer. Miller Lite, official partner of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. When it's game time, it's Miller time, Celtics fans.
Sports Hub. Boston's home for sports.
Let's go.
The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and we have Bert Breer from MMQB in studio, as he is every Friday. His attendance record is exemplary.
Never have to worry about Bert.
I know. I shouldn't talk.
One of the few.
I mean, I did miss work yesterday, but as I said before, it's a situation that will probably happen again in a couple months.
The demands aren't as heavy on me as they are on you, though. You got to be here every day.
I just have a situation where it's not going to happen often, and hopefully it doesn't happen again, but there's a chance that it might. But it goes away quickly. All right, Bert. So we were talking about Lamar Jackson after, obviously, Sunday's game. And there's a big worry that he's going to get hurt, which I understand. And I understand that they run the pistol, which probably can be figured out. Let's start with that. Is their running game so good that it's like, if you know what's going on.
Is this offense sustainable? I guess it's probably the better question.
The thing is, is it so good that you can plan against it and still have it be effective?
So... like, it is sustainable. It's sound. We've seen it at every other level of football, guys. We see it in high school. We see it in college. Like, this stuff is not a gimmick. It is sound. It's option football. It's been played at every level of football except the NFL for 100 years. So I don't think that, what we're seeing is unsustainable schematically. I think what's unsustainable about it is the quarterback staying healthy.
Okay.
And so here's what happens. Okay. And this is what happened with Robert Griffin. And this is what happened with Colin Kaepernick. And this is what's happened with so many of them. So when you start, when a team starts rolling this stuff out, right? Like, now they're breaking 60-yard runs or breaking 70-yard runs. You got your quarterback in the open field, and he's not taking the same amount of damage that a quarterback doing those sorts of things normally would. Defenses will start catching up to it. That doesn't mean it stops working. But what ends up happening is, the 60 and 70 yard runs now become 6 and 7 yard runs. And now, instead of the guy having space around him and being able to slide, the quarters are closed around him and he's getting hit. And so then it becomes, can he physically hold up? And that really is like what became the problem with Kaepernick, because he started getting hurt. That's what became the problem with Griffin. And then it's like, is he willing to keep playing that way?
Yeah.
Because now it's like going to affect the length of his career. So it's either A, he gets beat up, or B, he's not willing to play that way anymore. And if he's not willing to play that way anymore, now all of a sudden, can he be as effective? And I would make this point, too. what we've seen, the two teams, like two teams in particular, have done a really good job handling that offense really since he became the starter, right? You know what those two teams have in common?
What?
They saw him a second time.
Okay.
So it was the Chargers last year in the playoffs, right? So they saw, like, the Ravens gashed them in December, right? They played them in the playoffs, and all of a sudden it was a totally different story. The Browns played the Ravens at the end of last year. So the very, I think it was week 17 of last year. I think the Ravens ran for like 300 yards on them, mm-hmm. right? The end of last year.
Yeah.
It kind of stopped the role the Browns were in at the end of the year and everything else. The Browns played them early this year. What happens? Well, all of a sudden now, you know, it's different.
It's so funny that the Browns beat the Ravens.
And I don't think, and I don't think it's just scheme either. I think there's another part of this. I had a defensive coordinator who played against them a few weeks ago. And he said to me, it's like, it's not just what we're doing as coaches. It's also really just hard as a player because they play all kinds of games with your eyes. And so if you haven't seen it before,
yeah.
right, if you haven't played against it before, it's like playing like a wing tee high school offense in high school.
Yeah.
It's like you think it's going one way, but it's actually going the other way.
It's like how Air Force stays in games
right.
against
and Army and yeah. Navy. And it's like, and it's just, so if you, like there's the element of scheming it, right? Like, so there's a coach's coaching against it, but then there's also the players going against it, which is like they can simulate it all they want in practice when it's going a million miles an hour,
yeah,
and like your eyes are playing tricks on you and you haven't played against something like it's, of course it's going to have an effect on you. And I think we saw some of that against the Patriots. Doesn't mean like the Patriots won't, like, it doesn't mean the Patriots are going to come up with some plan in January that's going to hold Lamar Jackson to 5 yards rushing. I don't think that's going to happen, mm-hmm. but what it does mean is, like, you aren't going to have them gashing them the same way, I don't think, if they see okay. him again.
But Lamar Jackson, if you look at the statistics, I mean, he passes from the pocket. I mean, he does do that. I mean, he's not completely a running quarterback.
Yeah.
Is he capable, if you take away some of that running, to be effective and mm-hmm. win you a game from the pocket?
He's getting better. And listen, like, I try to lean on, you know, the scouts and the coaches have gone against him. What they all say is he's still scattershot underneath.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the accuracy's not perfect, but it's gotten better. His improved touchdown field, like, they are, like, they're getting Hollywood Brown back healthy. He played against the Patriots, of course, and they're getting him back healthy now. And he has, like, put the potential that they've got downfield now with some of the guys that can really run, because Lamar Jackson can throw the deep ball.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be problematic for defenses. So, is he ever going to be the guy who's going to sit back there and throw it 40 times from the pocket? No. But what his athleticism does to compromise, and that's really the key to this, is like, what his athleticism does to compromise everything you're doing defensively,
mm-hmm.
that's a real problem. Like, that's what this whole thing is. It's so, like, last year, right, the Chargers, what did they do? They put 7 defensive backs on the field to deal with Lamar Jackson's speed, and it really worked, right?
Yeah.
Like, they had safeties at linebacker, right? Well, what did the Ravens do? They signed Mark Ingram. So now what happens if you put safeties on the field? They've got a downhill running game coming at you with a 230-pound back.
Yeah.
So it doesn't work anymore, you know? And then same thing in the passing game. It's like, okay, like, so, like, let's say you want to put somebody else in the box. Well, now all of a sudden, okay, you got Hollywood Brown one-on-one, and no one in the league can run with him.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just, there's all sorts of different conflicts that Lamar Jackson's athleticism causes. And it's not the same as Brady, and it's not the same as a Manning, or not the same as a Joe Flacco or someone like that. It's different.
Mm-hmm.
But he can win with his arm because of how his athleticism compromises what a defense does.
So you got one team in the Ravens going one way, and then you got the Cleveland Browns going in a completely different direction.
Yeah.
There was a report that came out this week that if this horrendous season continues going down in flames, that Odell Beckham Jr. could possibly be traded or they're being shopped. And to me, that reeks of Odell Beckham Jr.'s people leaking that out. It's just one of those things where I would think that if you're him, because I guess he was complaining at the end of the fourth quarter that he wasn't getting the damn ball. And you said Ian Rappaport, John, yesterday had filed something that said that I guess that Baker Mayfield, they had a come to Jesus meeting with him saying, you need to force feed it to Odell. Wasn't that the term? Force feed it to
yes,
Odell Beckham
it
Jr.?
Was.
Okay. Well, so obviously it says to me, when you use the term force feed, it sounds like Baker
doesn't
want to
throw. That's a shot at
that
your receiver.
That he's bitched and wants the ball. So there's also on the other side of this whole story, this love affair between Tom Brady and Odell Beckham Jr. Do you think that if this continues to go the way it is, that he's going to try to shoot himself off the team?
I don't know. I think it sort of depends on, like, that.
Mike McCarthy, they say, is going to be the coach next year. That's you've heard that rumor.
Well, because John Dorsey has the relationship with McCarthy from Green Bay.
Should have got him this
I
year.
Don't, oh, Kitchens I don't know. A genius. I don't know if I buy that they showed so little interest in McCarthy last year.
Well, what about Beckham? Like, are they like, because if you're the Browns, you and obviously want to keep the guy.
Here's the thing. The other thing is, too, is like if you look at that organization, John Dorsey, Elliott Wolf, Alonzo Highsmith, they've got all these people in the front office who worked with McCarthy in Green Bay. So they have the relationship with McCarthy, but they also know the other side of it. They know the bad stuff too.
I would
Odell Beckham shoot his way out of town? I'm not ruling anything out just because of who he is. Because of what this generation's become, this generation of NFL players become. It was interesting. Somebody brought this up to me the other day when we were talking about players forcing their way out. And I think Jamal Adams could wind up being that guy next year. If things don't get better there. Like, Jalen Ramsey, we've seen it with Minka Fitzpatrick. We saw it, obviously with Antonio Brown. You know, like because of how these kids grew up, they think that they can kids transfer high schools. Like, you get the transfer portal in college, and so a lot of kids like believe that this is the way you do it.
I think it's the NBA that influenced them.
Yeah, that too. And I just don't think I think if Odell Beckham sees this as an untenable situation. Like, what's keeping him there at that point, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you got a moron throwing to you, so that's one thing.
You know what? Like, and you guys know, like, I think Baker Mayfield's got a chance to be a really good player. You know what really freaked me out, though?
What's that?
How he shaved twice. Do you guys see that?
You see, I saw that he shaved between the end of the game and him speaking at the press conference, because he said that
but he shaved twice, because he in warm-ups, he had a beard. And then he had the handlebar mustache during
the game.
And then at the end of the game, and then after the game, he had like the Uncle Buck.
He oozes stability, doesn't he?
In his head.
Remember when Dan Aykroyd falls apart in trading places and starts trying to steal the fish from the Christmas party?
Yes.
That's exactly how Baker Mayfield looked at the end of that game. He looked like a guy who was going to the post-game spread and sticking stuff in his jacket so he could have it for later.
I would say this, though. Like, you hear the way that Bill talks about Beckham.
Yep.
I mean, like, I think that there's, like, Bill's slick like that. Like, he has a way of, like, there are certain guys where he knows, like, they're disgruntled. I think he did this with Antonio Brown, too. Like, where he just, like, has a way of getting it out there. Like, hey, I really like this guy. He's not so bad. Like, he's a really good player. Like, he has a way of getting that stuff out there.
Yeah.
Which is, like, leaving breadcrumbs for the player.
Would they ever trade him to the Patriots?
If he ever came here, that'd be great for us as a show. But, man, you'd be flipping a coin every week.
See, He'd kill if he was here.
I don't know that Odell. I don't know. I know that Odell is like the lunatic that Brown is. So he's not.
No, he's not even in the same.
I think there's potential that Beckham could come here.
Well,
and be like no. I think there's potential like if that were ever to happen, and then we're talking a pipe dream at this point, right?
Right.
But if that were ever to happen, I do think that there's a decent chance Odell would like really appreciate like the. Okay, I get like, all right, now I've seen the other side of this. Now I get a chance to play with like Tom Brady.
Even if he caught two passes for 20 yards in back-to-back weeks?
Well, yeah.
I think that this would be a little different.
Okay, well, I want to talk to you about who will be throwing the football at three teams that have veteran quarterbacks and where they could be headed. We will talk about that after the headliner-oos.
Toucher and Root. Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem?
No match for a little DIY duct tape.
Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
The Sports Hub On Demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tip off every Celtics game all season long with a great-tasting ice-cold Miller Lite, the original light beer. Miller Lite, official partner of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. When it's game time, it's Miller time, Celtics fans.
Toucher and Rich.
You like poking them?
We don't talk about things like that in here.
Oh, we do.
Toucher.
Screw. I'm getting nervous.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Be listening this morning at 7:50 for your chance to score a pair of tickets to see Nick Kroll on his middle-aged boy tour tonight at the Chevalier Theater. Limit tickets still available at thechevaliertheater.com. Bert Breer from MMQB is in studio with us. And, Bert, there is talk about three aging quarterbacks and where they could be playing next season. His quarterbacks are Philip Rivers, Drew Brees, and Tom Brady.
Cam Newton.
Well, let's stick to those three.
Okay.
All right. Because
ground rules, Fred.
You got to set the ground rules. All right. Do you believe that any of those guys are going to move?
I think with, well, so I'll start with Brees. I think Brees is a no. I think Brees, whenever he's done with the Saints, he's done with football.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah.
And you know, I've had conversations with him about this where he was another one of these guys who said 45, 45, 45, right? And then a couple summers ago, I remember I'm walking off the practice field with him in New Orleans, and I said, do you still want to play to 45? And his answer changed. He said, and I think Brady's sort of like this now too. He said, I think I can. I just don't know that I want to. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, he's like, I love being out here in July, and I love practicing, and I love getting ready to play and all that different stuff. He's like, but my kids are getting older. I don't know how I'm going to feel in 6 months.
Yeah.
And that was his main thing. Like, I don't know how I'm going to feel in 6 months. I don't know how I'm going to feel in a year. I don't know how I'm going to feel in 18 months. And I think Brady might be there too, you know, like where it's like, yeah, he physically feels like he can do it and it wouldn't be a problem to try to get there. It's just whether or not he's going to have the desire that he has right now to keep going.
What makes you think that? Because I haven't heard him say anything publicly except his
Brady?
Yeah. Except
because I just think, like, look, I think this is, like, normal human stuff. Like, he's got three kids. His kids are getting older. You know, like, there's probably certain things that he's missing that, you know, he... And look, I think we all miss stuff, right? Like, we all miss stuff with our kids and everything else, but he's got the means not to miss it,
sure,
right? Like, he's got the means to do whatever the hell he wants now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you don't know how you're going to feel. Now, I think Brady's a little bit more addicted to competition than Brees is.
Yeah.
And Brees is competitive as hell, too. I think Brady's, like, maybe a little bit more fearful of what would happen when he's not playing anymore than Brees is. But, you know, I think they're both sort of in that boat where it's like you don't know how you're going to feel in a year. You don't know how you're going to feel in 2 years. So I think Brees would not play somewhere else.
Is this this is Brees' final year? Like, in his contract, or does he have one more after this?
Brees' last year's contract.
Okay, so, I mean, and you've got, I mean, if you're the Saints, you're trying to get Teddy Bridgewater. I mean,
he had the same sort of deal with Brady where he signed an extension. There's a phony year on it. I think this is the last year of his
career. If that's the case, I mean, if you're the Saints, you do everything to keep Bridgewater. He's going to get a massive contract.
Right. He could. I mean, he could. That's the thing about them is, like, what's so smart about the Bridgewater deal, it's two things. It's number one, like, imagine if they had, like, just a tire fire behind Brees, right? So you're talking about, like, you got a team that's got all these guys that are in the prime of their career. They drafted really well the last 3 or 4 years, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you imagine, like, if you had, like, not to pick on anybody, but, like, Curtis Painter, you know,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, in there, like, somebody like that in there at quarterback, and now all of a sudden you lose all those games and you've blown the last year of opportunity you have with Drew Brees.
Yeah.
Because you weren't afforded. That's like, the value of paying Bridgewater $7 million. And then, you know, of course, like, because they're in that spot with so many really good young players.
Yeah.
Your Marshawn Lattimore's, Cam Jordan's older, but your Marshawn Lattimore's, your Marcus Davenport's, your Marcus Williams, your Alvin Kamara's, your Ryan Ramczyk's, like, they're loaded. And so, you know, if Brees were to decide he will walk away, you've got an answer and a guy who's experienced in your system. I think Brady is unlikely to go somewhere else. I think he'd be more likely to play somewhere else than Brees. Like I said, Brees, I think it's Saints, and that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
Brady, I think I still have my doubts that he'd have the stomach to pick up and leave and go somewhere else and start over. Rivers is sort of a wild card because, so, you know, he told me in the summer he wants to keep playing, and he was like, I don't know how much longer I want to keep playing, but he said, I want to coach my kid playing high school football. So his oldest son, he's got two sons of the nine kids, I think it is now. Two sons, right?
And so that's so gross.
The oldest.
How could you make the eighth one?
I don't know.
Like, the oldest. Like, wouldn't you be so sick of it? Like,
so
just,
the oldest.
The oldest son. I gotta bang you.
The oldest son's a fifth grader now. Uh-huh. So do the math.
Sure.
Like, you play. He wants to coach the kid when he's in ninth grade. And I do think that ultimately they wind up back in Alabama where he's from. And if he were going to go somewhere else, there is a team that's going to have an opening that is very close to where he grew up. The Tennessee Titans.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, there's just some logical things where, and look, if Mike Vrabel and John Robinson down there don't make the playoffs this year, now you're going into, like, a potential, like, are people's jobs in the line
in
2020, and they've got some decent pieces there around whoever's the quarterback. They may not want to start over with a rookie quarterback. Like, if you're in that spot and you know you're, like, your job's on the line, you may be motivated to go and bring in somebody like that. So there could be some musical chairs. I would say Rivers would be – I don't think any of them are likely to move to different teams. I think if they're all back in 2020, they're all most likely with the teams that they're with. I'd say Rivers is probably more likely than the other two. I'd say Brady's more likely than Breeze.
Vegas odds actually favor Mitch Trubisky being a backup quarterback next year. Do you see that happening?
All right, let's come back with that.
Vegas actually has a line, and it favors that he will not be a starting quarterback next year.
I don't think. Like,
Save the tease, Bert.
It's called a big market tease.
All right, we will be right back.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
The Sports Hub On Demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tip off every Celtics game all season long with a great-tasting ice-cold Miller Lite, the original light beer. Miller Lite, official partner of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. When it's game time, it's Miller time, Celtics fans.
Why are you waking me up now?
It's TNR on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I had no idea they could do that.
Well, there you go.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Five to Sports Hub. We're touching Rich. Car number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line at 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see Nick Kroll on his middle-aged boy tour tonight at the Chevalier Theater. Limited tickets still available at chevaliertheater.com. All right, Rich, you were asking Bert a question.
Yes, Mitch Trubisky, favored in Vegas to not be a starter next year in the NFL. Can you see that happening?
Absolutely. Like, I just don't think he – I mean, it's crazy, like, now to look at how they took him over Watson and Mahomes. It didn't seem crazy at the time, but now, I mean, the chance that this has to completely sabotage what I think has been, like, really good work building that team.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, like, an expansion team when Ryan Pace got there in 2015, and that's their general manager. The job that he's done building it up over the last five – I mean, it's a – there's talent all over the place in that roster, and that one decision is like threatens to sabotage the entire thing. Because you guys know this, like with a great defense, like the window of opportunity, it's not like having a great quarterback. Your window of opportunity with a great defense is like 3 or 4 years.
Oh, before they price themselves out.
Yeah. Right.
Right. Yep. And now they're
Seattle, right?
And now they're sort of getting to the back end of that. And so I understand why the guys there have been so invested in Trubisky and trying to make it work, because they used they traded up from 3 to 2 to get him.
I know, it's insane.
You know, like, so, like I understand why they've tried so many different ways, pulled so many levers to make it work. This will be Mitch's fourth year next year. I think you owe it to yourself, based on what you've built there,
yeah,
to find another answer at quarterback. I mean, I even think, like, I personally think if they had Andy Dalton at quarterback, and Andy Dalton's not a great quarterback.
I agree.
But if they had Andy
Dalton. He's serviceable.
If they had Andy Dalton at quarterback.
Yep.
I've actually read that's a rumor that they could get him.
I mean, like, Dalton said himself after he was benched, like, I wish they'd done this earlier so
I could have gotten traded.
Right, Right. You know, and so, but I think somebody like that, just having someone who can drive the bus, who can keep you from steering into a freaking ditch.
I can totally see them throwing all the money in the world over at. What about Bridgewater? I mean, that's the other thing is that, he's going to be a free agent as well.
One of those guys, and this team is a 10-win team.
Yeah,
either one of them.
The other name that's come up, and I think that this would be, to me, would be too risky, is Marcus Mariota. Because his college coach is their offensive coordinator.
Doesn't matter.
Mark Helfrich.
So. That does not transfer.
Or Tom Brady.
Well, if you guys want to get really froggy, Cam Newton.
Well, that's an interesting one. That's intriguing.
That could be really interesting. That could be, all right. You have something that's a real possibility. We don't know who's going to be running the Panthers in 3 or 4 months, right? It's possible that because this is a new owner, and I think Ron Rivera has done a fantastic job this year, based on everything. But it's a new owner, and he's. Now got over a year under his belt. Maybe he wants to make some changes. What happens with Cam Newton going forward? He's going into a contract year in 2020. If you're the Bears, do you take that swing?
You got to do something. Yeah. You have to do something. And you're right. I agree with you. They're just one piece. It's one piece that's bringing them down, and they have to make some sort of
moves. It's just you look at the defense, too. It's Akeem Hicks. It's Khalil Mack. It's Leonard Floyd.
Yeah.
It's
they're amazing. They're a great defense. They suck because it's risky.
And they even have good players on offense. Trey Burton's there. Allen Robinson's there. Yeah. Tariq Cohen's there. The offensive line, I know it hasn't been as good this year because of injuries, but they've got good players there, too.
Okay, convince me this. Why would anyone want to play in London? Why would any free agent sign to play in London? What do you mean
business.
By that?
I just think I know I don't think like some pro athletes think, but if you're 23, 24 years old, would you rather live in London or Jacksonville?
If I had to travel 6 hours to the closest game, every time I play,
and spend 4 weeks on a road trip.
But you assume they're going to work out some logistics with that, right? So what I've heard, and you guys lived in Atlanta, right? Mm-hmm. You guys know how the freaking Falcons facilities in South Carolina,
right?
Yeah. Right? It's 45 minutes away. Yeah. So the rumor that I've heard was that the league would buy Flowery Branch. The Falcons would move downtown. Right, closer to downtown, which I think is what Arthur Blank wants to do, closer to the stadium. And then Flowery Branch would be the U.S. headquarters of the London team.
Well, then you're away from home for weeks at a time.
So, a lot of these pro athletes don't, there are a lot of guys who play for the Patriots who don't live here.
Right.
The Packers, had this issue a lot, for a long time, where it was they built, so the Packers, if you look at their contracts, right? Mm-hmm. For years and years and years, so many of the Packers players, and I don't know if it's still this way, I haven't looked at it in a while, but for years and years and years, the Packers players had massive workout bonuses because that was the only way they could get the players to stay there in the offseason, to come there for the offseason program.
So would they do that?
That's not uncommon. And if I'm a player, right, we talk about players wanting to build their names up and everything else. What better opportunity?
I completely
than to be part of that.
But the taxes are ridiculous over there. How are they going to compensate for that?
I just think that the league wants it to happen bad enough where they would do things to make it work. I don't know. There's fair questions. There's tons of fair questions. And by the way, I don't think it's going to be the Chargers because not for the reasons everybody's talking about. I think it's because they're going to handpick whatever owner is going to control that market, and I don't think it's Dean Spanos.
Yeah. But Shad Khan's already got a soccer team over there,
too.
And
that's the thing is, I don't think, and Mike Florio wrote this, I agree with this, I have some agreement with this theory, that maybe this got leaked out there to put pressure on the Jaguars, to put pressure on Shad Khan, to hey, you're not the only team that can go over there. Ultimately, look, I think I've said this to you guys about L.A., right? The L.A. market, the one thing the league couldn't afford to have happen was to fail, right? And they are sort of failing now. But the one thing they could not get it wrong. It had to be the right team. It had to be the right owner. It had to be the right stadium, right? In essence, they weren't going to let Mark Davis control that market, right? It's just what it is. They weren't going to let Dean Spanos. They weren't going to let Dean Spanos control that market either. They had Stan Kroenke going first, a guy who's an incredibly successful businessman, a real estate developer. That's the guy they have controlling the LA market. It's the same thing in London. They know they want to go there. There are owners who, and Jerry Kraft, they're powerful owners who view this as a legacy thing, like being the first North American sports league to have a team over there full time. They also know if they're going to swing, they can't miss. And a big part of getting it right is going to be having the right owner over there.
Launching with Tom Brady.
Shad is perfect. Shad Khan's perfect. Shad wasn't born in this country, mm-hmm. right? So Shad has that, right?
It looks like Ron Jeremy, who's very popular in London.
There's an international feel to it. And he's got a soccer team over there.
Yes.
Right? So he understands the market. And so I don't...
By when? They've been messing around with this for a decade. When?
So the biggest problem is the logistics still. Like, the biggest problem still, and it's what you're talking about, but this... I don't think it's not even so much the regular season thing, because I think they could find a way to make that work. It's the one-off situations. It's like, what happens if a London team's playing Seattle in the wild card round? What does that do to competitive balance, right?
Sure.
Like, so that part of it, I think, is...
It's 12 hours on a plane.
Right, and then there's little things like, so teams, you know, have an injury and they bring guys in for Tuesday workouts. Can you do that if you're a London team?
Can you think about
and
that?
And I mean, like, but that I think is where, like, the U.S. base would come in, like, where it'd be like, okay, like, the U.S. base is in Atlanta. And I've even heard, like, if it was the Jaguars, could you play a split schedule where, like, teams playing half its games in Jacksonville and half its games in London? Now, I don't think that would work, but... but it's interesting. I mean, I think when they launched this project, well, to answer your question, in 2007, right? Like, so this is the first, and I think that was the game where they played, it was like Giants Dolphins. If I remember, like, the, like, Wembley was a mess, right? Yep. Like, they were playing in like a freaking, it looked like they were playing in, you know, just as like the field was not equipped to have a football game on it. The goal was 15 years. We are now 3 years away from that.
Okay.
So the goal had been 2022. I'm skeptical that they get there. But, you know, Jacksonville's a failing market. I don't think the league would shed many tears if they lost Jacksonville as a market. and if they could work out the logistics, I think the Jaguars would wind up there.
All right. Well,
would you boycott the team, Jacksonville lady, if that happened?
Certainly not.
No, that's good to know.
No, she'd move overseas.
I was in Miami with my new beach house. Well, it was a couple minutes from the beach.
Fred, seriously, though, if you were 23 years old.
I'd live in London.
Jacksonville or London? Green Bay or London?
Jacksonville. You kidding me? Just line them all up, baby.
I mean, there are
fireworks.
There are U.S. cities. There are U.S. cities where you legitimately look at it. But I think that, like, for some guys, like, the idea of playing in London would appeal to you. And
plus, you'd be a star.
And you'd be a star. That's the other part of it, is that, like, the
opportunity. Minshew mania. Don't talk to me about stars. He's got a mustache.
Yeah.
That's right, he does. All right, Bert Breer.
Took it to the limit.
Thank you so much for the time. When you rode the Concorde over there, what did you do?
Took it to the limit.
Broke the sound barrier. All right. No commercials here, just the headlines. I've been told by Rich yesterday via text that there was audio from yesterday as I was ill. And
by the way, guys, please go to the Rat concert. Okay. I need you guys to do that.
I've already been officially invited by the powers that be.
Oh, nice.
Well, listen, I can't go on a Monday night.
Bring Zoe with you.
He's not going to go.
He's not going to go. You know this.
He was like, I'm going to totally go and go to the glow stick.
I'll see you there, dude.
And we're like, no, you're not. He's like, yeah, I can't go.
Yeah,
no.
He's not going to go. All right.
Him there.
He showed up to my 40th thing, which I'll have to give him credit for. But he came, picked up Fierce, and then walked out. All right, no commercials here, just the headlines, and then I find out this audio that I need to hear.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem?
No match for a little DIY duct tape.
Shoot, hold on, nope, there we go. No match for a little, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
The Sports Hub On Demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Tip off every Celtics game all season long with a great-tasting ice-cold Miller Lite, the original light beer. Miller Lite, official partner of the 17-time world champion Boston Celtics. When it's game time, it's Miller time, Celtics fans.
Imagine a place where you are never far from your next adventure. Welcome to Prince Edward Island, Canada, a destination where the breathtaking views rejuvenate the soul. Discover 700 miles of coastline with white sand beaches and red cliffs, the freshest flavors from land and sea, world-class golf, outdoor adventures, and authentic cultural experiences. Come find your island. Prince Edward Island, the official travel destination of the NHL and a proud partner of the Boston Bruins. Learn more at explorepei.com.